Lynn Page, 213-4009.
Good morning, everybody. First of all, just a couple of quick announcements. Tomorrow night, Tuesday, March 22nd, our Chef Dell will be doing his conference call, Conversations with Chef Dell. He's going to focus on recipes for Passover and Easter that are healthy for the first 15 minutes. Then, of course, the rest of the time is yours to ask questions about food or cooking. On Wednesday night, Wellness 101 starts via teleconference. It's an 8-class series. We're going to repeat it all year long. So if you look at the schedule and you can't do all 8 classes, you'll have lots of opportunities to make them up. All you have to do is be a member to participate in that, and it's your chance to learn the course from Wellness Forum staff, including me. And then our lifestyle medicine course, our diet and lifestyle intervention course, I should say, that features the classes with Dr. Colin Campbell and Dr. Neil Barnard and Dr. John McDougall and Dr. Esselstyn, et cetera, begins on Wednesday, June 1st. And we are ready to start enrolling people. If you have questions about that or you want to enroll in any of these things, please call the office at 614-841-7700. And we will be happy to help you. So before I took Friday off, because I was out of town, we were going through this book, Callous Disregard, by Andrew Wakefield. And we only have a couple messages left to kind of finish it up. But this is, of course, the story of what happened to Andrew Wakefield, who dared to step outside the conventional thought process. He says in the beginning of his book, this is a book about what happens if you have a difference of opinion in the scientific community, which is not the way it's supposed to be. But we were talking about the people who testified against him at the hearings in front of the General Medical Council. Dr. Zuckerman, I'll kind of pick up where I left off. Dr. Zuckerman, the dean of the medical school, presented testimony at the hearings that was completely refuted by the written evidence. And there were even videotapes of his appearance at press conferences in which he said things that totally contradicted what he said at the hearings. In fact, he actually stated publicly that he agreed with Wakefield's concern about the MMR vaccine and explained that there might be side effects to that vaccine. So people under pressure sometimes forget who their friends are, and this certainly happened to Andrew Wakefield. One of the serious allegations against Wakefield is that in the process of doing the research and reporting his findings on MMR, he recommended single vaccines as an alternative to MMR. It's kind of interesting. There's a whole group of people that say that he scared people from getting vaccines, from vaccinating their children at all. And then another group of people who said, no, it's not that he recommended no vaccines. It's that he recommended single vaccines instead of combination vaccines, and that those single vaccines were not available, which then encouraged parents not to vaccinate at all. And that's not true. Single vaccines were available, but the Department of Health withdrew them from the market after Wakefield's comments. And that's kind of curious, too. But at no point in time did Wakefield ever come out and say he was anti-vaccine, although he's been blamed for what the Brits call an epidemic of people who haven't vaccinated their children. Richard Horton was editor of The Lancet at the time the article was published, and he started out expressing a different point of view about all of this. He says he doesn't regret publishing the article and that progress in medicine relies on the free expression of new ideas. Those were his words. He stated that Wakefield's work opened up a new area of study, the relationship between the brain and the intestine and autism. And Horton actually wrote a book called Second Opinion, and he stated that the debacle, quote, has left Wakefield's reputation unfairly in tatters, virtually unemployable in the UK for the work he wanted to do. Horton called Wakefield to express his respect for him and his admiration and sympathy for the position he was in, and then just a few hours later told the media that the paper never should have been published. And the retraction of the Lancet article started with a partial retraction and then ended up being a full retraction. One of the reasons being cited being that the description of the children was false. But this is untrue. In fact, the parents of the children have come forward to refute the allegation that that the docs made up okay, so I just got the warning bell that we're out of time, but tomorrow we'll pick this up where we left off. That's all for now, and have a great day.